Now, as we come to the 12th chapter here in the Gospel of Luke, we continue on in this tremendous ministry that our Lord had, and we'll find that in this section there are some new things, and those new things are what we'd like to emphasize. Luke opens this chapter by saying, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, First of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Now, at this time, it was the period when his ministry peaked, that is, when the crowds were following him. And I emphasize this again because I have mentioned it again and again, that it was at this time that he was performing so many miracles, and literally there were thousands of blind who had their eyes open, thousands of lame who could walk, and thousands of the dumb who could speak, and he had healed many, in fact, multitudes of people, not just the few that are recorded here. I think all the gospel writers try to make that clear to us. And here the crowd is so tremendous, it just wasn't able to number them, and they're pushing one upon another, and was dangerous to be in it. And he warns them of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, friends, if leaven is the gospel, then why in the world would the Lord warn his disciples of the leaven of the Pharisees? Well, leaven is a principle of evil, and that would be the only thing our Lord would warn them of. And the leaven of the Pharisees here was hypocrisy. And there's a great deal of leaven about today. "For there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And it was on this principle that both Cromwell and I think in Martin Luther based the statement that fear God and you will have no one else to fear. Cromwell was once asked the basis of his courage and fearlessness, and he said that, "I've learned that if you fear God, there'll be no man you'll have to fear." That is what our Lord is actually saying here. Now I want to drop down to verse 15, and it grew out of this incident of these two men that came to him, and one fellow said to him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge, a divider over you?" Our Lord absolutely refused to sit in judgment in a case like this. I wish today that those of us who attempt to counsel might take this kind of a position. The counselors today are so quick to tell you what you should do and to judge this, that, and another thing. Even the Lord Jesus would not sit in judgment. Now, of course, when he came the first time, he did not come as a judge, but he came as a Savior. The next time he does come as a judge, and the Father's committed all judgment to him. But this time he wouldn't judge. But now, out of this incident, though, he made this statement and then gave a parable. "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." And that is certainly a good verse for many Christians in this age of crass materialism, when it seems that things are so important today and they occupy so much of our time. Covetousness is one of the great sins of the hour that Christians commit. You see, it is a sin that when you commit it, no one knows that you do commit it. And maybe you're not conscious of it yourself. St. Francis of Assisi once said, "Men have confessed to me every known sin except the sin of covetousness." And the judgment that's sometimes made of us as Americans is quite interesting. Several years ago, the Sunday Pictorial in London gave this assessment of America. And I'm quoting. It says, "We owe America so much that the least we can do is to be honest. This is what we think is wrong with you. You often act as though you own the UN instead of an equal partner. You dragoon the smaller nations who are dependent on you economically. You expect others to make greater sacrifices than you are prepared to make. Your standard of living is rising with rearmament. Ours is falling. Only this year we have shared with you the world's fastest and finest jet bomber, the Canberra. How many of your secrets have you passed on to us?" Now, those are criticisms that probably won't stand today. But now notice this next one. "You shock us by your belief that the almighty dollar and our might alone can save the world." And I'm wondering if we haven't come to that position today. Man overcome by covetousness